to the Victory Harvest Podcast.
Brother, can you do something with these lights up here? I can't see nobody. I want to see y'all. I like to see when the Holy Spirit's moving. Amen? You know, when I look in your eyeballs, I'm looking into your very soul. Amen? And I got something I want to encourage everybody today. You know, I've been out doing some revivals and stuff. And, you know, when you go out and you do that, you put your evangelist cap on. So you can really get in there and stomp and romp and mess around, you know. And then when you leave, just say, their pastor will take care of you when I'm gone. But you're not that way, because I've been a pastor here with Pastor Terry, like he says, for a long time. And you're our sheep. And I love you guys more than you'll ever know. And I want you to know that. You know, I'm not just getting up here to say that to flower you up. We really do love you. That's why we gave our lives to do what we're doing. And I'm just amazed that God has had us here this long. And I'm excited about those things, you know. And you were talking about Kentwood spring water. You know, one time we used to have a water fountain out here, and it was Kentwood spring water. And when I was a kid, I used to go swimming in the tank that they put Kentwood spring water in. Go ahead and tell your neighbor, girls, you know. But I told that story one time, and somebody took one of those little plastic divers, you know, the little toy thing, and put it in that water bottle. So every time somebody would get water, that little diver would go up in there, and they wrote Kenny across the front of it, you know. So, and I know many of you quit drinking water totally when you saw that, you know. But that's all right. I'm clean, sanctified, bought, cleansed with the blood. Amen? And I do take a bath. Regular. But I want you to know God loves you. And I want to minister to you, because I've gone through some things in the last maybe month and seen some things. Not me personally gone through it, but I'm watching people as they go through it. And I'm watching people get disheartened, and I'm watching people go through trials, and they wonder. They're at that place to where they don't know what to do. And I've found through my years of being here on staff that people, when they get mad about things, they either get bitter with God or they get better. And I see a lot of people at that balancing point right there. And you may be some of those people. And you may have some uncertain things that's going on in your mind today about what is going on with this world. I mean, we're rocking and reeling right now with the things that's going on in this world. Our finances are upset. We were talking about this morning about the trickle-down effect of how it affects everybody. We were talking about Madoff, all the people, you know, that guy that embezzled all that money. Well, we were talking about going through trials. Well, he may be going through a trial, but guess what? If you had your money invested with him, you're going through a trial today. And it goes all the way down, because everybody will be touched through this. But we got to stop sometimes and say, this is not our home. We're passing through this thing right now. And if you got money and you've had money and you've been blessed, thank God for it. If you haven't, hopefully you're going to get some more of it and get blessed. But one thing I know, that God is still in control. And He has always promised that He is going to take care of His children. He's not an infidel that He would let us go out and do nothing in this world. Because I believe right now that we're standing on the threshold of doing a great and mighty work for God. Because we are seeing people that have a need in their life. And when you have messed with somebody's pocketbook, you have messed with their lives. Because everything that they've been trusting, trying to turn this big nut of success that this world says out there, get more and can all you can get, that's a fallacy. Because I've learned through my life just to be content with what God gives me. And I don't care. And He blesses me more than I can ever. I'm amazed at what God does in my life. And I never even ask for it. It just falls in my hands. And I know it's a blessing from the Lord. But I use everything that He gives me for His glory. Amen? But I know that some of you are going through some troubled times today. And I want you to listen to this, because I'm going to do a lot of reading of the Word of God. And I want you to follow along with me. If you got your Bible, Donna's going to put them on the screen. But I want you personally to begin to mark some things. I don't know what that noise is. You know what that is? Test, test. It's a little right there, whatever that is. But I want you to begin to mark some things in your... Turn this microphone off, right? That one's off. Test. Yee-hoo. No bird. Okay, we're doing good. All right. But I want you, if you will, to start marking some things in your Bible. I guess I'm going to just have to stay here, huh? Mark some things in your Bible. I hate to be limited. I'm restrained this morning. But mark some things in your Bible, and I want you to begin to go by, and I want you to begin to read that, because you see, we need the Word of God in our lives. We need that. There's too many bad reports that's going on everywhere. You know, I like the truth that's going out there. We got some people that are really helping us, Hannity and O'Reilly and Glenn Beck. A lot of these people are giving you a lot of good information about our country, and that's good. But I'm going to tell you what, when you get through listening to it, you need to go in there and get your Bible, and you need to start reading it. Because if you don't, I promise you, you're going to start going downhill and get depressed about what's going on. Amen? Because we need to, as Christians, begin to come to that place in our life to when we go through hard things, we need to be able to help other people. How many of you in here have gone through a real trying time in the last year? Let me see your hands. I'm talking about a real, real trial. Okay, everybody that does not have your hands up, I just want to encourage you. Because you probably will go through some trials. And those that were just sitting next to you that had their hands up, you might want to remember who they are. Because I promise you, they can help you get through these things. But we are going to have to come and stand on the Word of God and believe what God says. If we don't, we're going to be depressed about everything. And I've just purposed it in my life to be better about whatever comes my way. Amen? God still comforts. People of God. Isaiah 49:13, it says, "Sing, O heavens, be joyful, O earth, and break out in singing, O mountains. For the Lord has comforted His people and will have mercy on the afflicted." That is a promise of God for us. And when you begin to see those things, you begin to sing out. You just let a song just begin to bubble up inside of you and say, "Oh man, it's looking bad, but you know what? This is a day. This is a day. This is another day that God has made for you." Another one, David says, "Show me a sign for good, that those who hate me may see it and be ashamed, because you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me." Has anybody in here ever been comforted? David by himself even said, "I remembered your judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself." When I do things that I know that I'm going to be judged for, and how many of you know that if you're a sinner, you're going to be judged for that one day? But aren't you glad that the Holy Spirit brings conviction immediately and shows you that sin, and immediately we can stop and say, "Lord, I messed up, forgive me." And we judge ourselves when that happens, and then God will not have to judge us. But if we don't judge ourselves, it's like pushing something under the rug. And after a while, that rug gets higher and higher and higher till somebody trips over it. And you know who's going to trip over it? You are going to trip over it because you did not judge your sins. But I have found that God is faithful, and when I go and confess something, He is justful and He is faithful about forgiving us on the spot. Isn't that neat? Did you feel so nasty and undone and unclean, and you can go and say, "Lord, forgive me, I'm sorry," and immediately pick it up and just go on and do what God wants you to do? Or you can sit around and sleep like with a wet dog, you know. One time we went duck hunting down at Point of Shin, and we had one of the guys had a black lab. Tar Baby was her name. And it's like, what are we going to do with this dog when we all get ready to get in that motor home and go to sleep? And the guy said, "Tar Baby's going to sleep in the motorhome with us and not with me." Well, Tar Baby did. In the same bed I did. A wet dog. Me and that wet dog spent the night in that motorhome. But you know what? The next day, every time we'd shoot a duck, Tar Baby was the one that went out there and got it. So Tar Baby wasn't such a bad bedfellow. Amen? But you know what I'm talking about. How many of you have gone to bed before and you knew that you had done some stuff that was wrong, and you just decided you was not going to go get straight with God or with that other person, and how miserable you were all night long? You woke up you probably was awake the next morning with that thing still on your mind, and you wondered, "What am I going to do with this?" And it's like, you know what? I could have forgave and got forgiven and went to sleep and slept like a baby last night. Amen? Paul and Titus, he said, "Nevertheless, God who comforts the downcast..." Some of you here today, and you may be downcast, downtrodden. You may be whipped down today. And it was nothing that you really did. Someone else might have caused that or been in your face about things. But you're troubled by those things. But it says, comforted by us by coming to Titus. That Paul, God sent Titus to Paul to comfort him. How many of you ever had somebody else in the kingdom of God, another person, come and comfort you when you were down? And you knew that God sent that person there just to bring comfort to you in that very time. Jesus promised the Comforter. He said, it's expedient that I go away. But when I go away, I'm going to send the Comforter. And that word literally means the paraclete. It's a Greek word, not parakeet, but paraclete. And when He comes, He's going to walk beside you. And eventually He's going to be inside of you. And He's going to teach you and guide you and show you of things to come. And how much more do we need that to happen today? You see, there are many spirits going out there today that telling people to do stuff and act this way and act that way. I want to know what God has to say. Amen? He's the bottom line. I don't want to get strayed away on my own thought or somebody else's thought. I want to do what God wants me to do. Amen? But He is the Comforter. Another thing is exhortation. If I ask you today, who have you if I ask you, who have you exhorted lately? Or who has exhorted you? Who has come by to give you a good word today? A promising word, a word of encouragement to tell you, hey, you may be going through something, but God is still in control. God's going to do this and do that for you. And quote those scriptures and begin to do those things. Well, this is what John the Baptist said in Luke 3. It says, His winnowing fan is in His hand, and He will thoroughly clean out His threshing floor and gather the wheat into His barn. But the chaff He will burn with an unquenchable fire. And with many other exhortations, He preached to the people. And how many of you would like that kind of exhortation? He's coming. He's got a fan. He's going to burn things up in you. How many of you want that word today? Well, that's a good word. You see, sometimes we want these flowered up words that sound really good and bless me and do me and bless me again. But sometimes God just comes along and says, I'm fixing to do a cleaning in your house. And I'm going to come in there and I'm going to wreak havoc in it. Have you ever rebuilt a house and it was already comfortable, but you just needed a little more room or something happening there? And you go in and you start cutting walls down, and then that leads to something else. I was trying to put a floor in one a while back, and it's like, I got the toilet out. Now look at the floor, it's bad. Now I've got the floor out, now it's into the wall, and I got that out, and it's into something else. And you just keep on going until you get it all done, but you got to get all of that out of there before you can do any good in there. Now God does us the same way, and we think that the devil has come to wreak havoc on us. Well, I want you to know something. Sometimes God just comes in and does a little house cleaning. Can I get a better amen out of that? You know, that he's going to come, because if we're going to sing songs like we sang this morning and lay our lives before the Lord and, Lord, take me and use me, God is going to do that. But it's going to take some purifying. It's going to take some cleaning. It may even take some tearing out. And it may be some things in your life that you're going to have to lay down just to say, Lord, you got something better. It may be something good in your life. But if He takes something good away from you, I promise you, He'll give you something better. Amen? Amen. Romans 12:6, it says, having then, now I want you to listen to this as the church. How many of you in here have gifts and callings in your life? Let me see some hands waving. Oh, come on now. Some of you don't even know what you got. Listen to this. You that do have it, it says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. See, one of the things that will keep you out of being troubled in this day is begin to use what God has already given you. There's too many things that we've heard and we've received of God, and we're not using those things. We're stockpiling in all the knowledge that God has to give us. But we're not giving out in wisdom. How many of you know that you can be a brand new Christian if you came to the knowledge of knowing that Jesus is your Savior? You are a qualified missionary. Did y'all hear what I said? Now, some of you will sit there and say, no, you're not. You have to go to training. You have to have this, this, this. No, you don't, because your witness is all you need. And your witness is all you need to share that with somebody else. And then the wisdom will come, because you got to get the knowledge here. But when you start giving it out, then you give out, you get the wisdom. Okay, let's move on. It says, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. I'm going to stop right there, because I got something I need to say. There's a lot of times where little rifts happen in churches, maybe at your work, maybe at your home. And you don't even speak to those people no more. You work with them, you live with them, you come to church with them, and you don't even give them the time of day. You know, it's time for all that foolishness to stop. It's time when you see somebody, whether you know them or not, and I always pick at you guys, I say, go give your offering, pop somebody's eyes out. And what I'm trying to tell you is just love them. Just care for them. Just go by. You never know who you're going to pass by that's in this church that all they need is just somebody to come and just give them an encouraging word. Or just tell them, say, you know what? Man, I love you. It's such a blessing to see you come here and sit. I watch and I see your faithfulness, and I am so encouraged by that. We used to have a young girl when I first started coming to this church right here. I can't even think of her name. That was Jan Prestridge's sister, you know, the one that she got married. Tammy. And she was such a blessing to watch worship God. I mean, you could watch this girl, and it was like she was her whole being was into worshiping God. And I was sitting there looking at her one day, and it's like, wow, man, I've never seen anybody worship like her. She is getting into this thing. And I walked up to her one day, and I said, Tammy, I said, you know what? You just bless me by the way that you worship God. When you worship God, it just pulls something in me. And that's when I wasn't real used to, you know, how much some of us came out of a little Baptist church. You know, I was in one, and we didn't lift our hands, and God only knows we never danced, you know. And shake a leg, buddy, you're going to go out the door, you know. But we never did all of that. And I watched her, and she would get enthroned in the things of God. And I'm going to tell you what, I got set free by watching that one person worship God. It was like she don't even think about not lifting her hands. It's just automatic. It goes up like a spring. And then she just gets engrossed in the things of God. Now, how many of us do that sometimes? We need to, church. I'm going to tell you, we need to express ourselves, and we need to be affectionate, not only to the Lord, but we need to be affectionate to one another. Amen? But do those things. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfast in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another, and do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. You know, one of the things that recently that really got my attention about doing this was one of the Bill McWright's grandbaby was in the hospital. And I went up there, and she had a very serious infection in her brain, a sinus cavity in her brain, and they were going to have to at first cut her skull across and pull it back and go in there and take all of that out. Well, we began to pray and believe God for it, and he'll give that testimony one day. I don't want to go that far. But I went there, and I couldn't go into the room because the doctor was there. So I went, and I had my little badge on, and I'm standing out in the hall, and everybody comes by. They think you're a doctor or something, you know, and it's, you know, with your little picture thing, you know, and I'm sitting there, and they say, yes, sir, doctor, where you would like to go? I said, well, just anywhere you want to send me. It don't matter. You know? So anyway, they realized I was just a preacher, so they left me alone. But while I was standing there in the pediatric ward in the hospital, you could hear the cries of little kids all over that hospital. Down the rooms, you could hear them crying. And there was nothing anybody could really do for them. You can't just medicate a kid and knock them out. There's just pain that they go through sometimes. But I was sitting there and I was listening to all these children crying. And I'm talking a lot. I mean, it was every hallway where I was standing. It was a hallway going everywhere and you could see. And all these children were crying and screaming. And some of the parents were saying, "It's okay, baby. It's okay, baby." And I was sitting there and it's like, "Lord, all these kids are hurting. What can we do?" And he said, "Yes, my children are hurting too." And the church is hurting. But we've learned as charismatics to put that plastered smile on. And we've learned how to say the right lingo. And we've learned how to do a lot of things. But some of us are hurting. Now, I'm not. I want you to know that. I'm healed. I'm ready to go. But I want the church to grab that vision to where when you do see a brother or a sister hurting, that you hurt with them. And when they rejoice, you rejoice with them. I went out to work with the central pastors cooking for kids. And I was over there working with all the pastors. And I brought one of my cars and put it in the car show. I needed a ride there. It was a good parking spot, so I brought it. Basically, all I did. I knew I wasn't going to get nothing out of it. I just went to go. But now I know why I went there. Because while I was sitting there, one of the pastors says, "Man, I'm hungry. Let's go get something to eat and go sit down." He said, "Don't you have a car here?" I said, "Yeah, it's over by the sheriff's motorhome. It's shady over there. You want to go sit?" And he said, "Yeah." So I left. I went and got something to eat. And I go over there and I get the chair out of the trunk of my car. And I go over there and I sit in the shade. And I'm just sitting there eating. And I don't see him nowhere. And it's like, well, maybe he went somewhere else or something. It's okay. But anyway, it wasn't but just a few minutes. He come walking up. He said, "Man, I couldn't find you. I couldn't find you." And I said, "Well, sit down." So he went and got his food. He come and he sit down there. And he was sitting there. And he wasn't sitting there 2 minutes. And he told me, he said, "You know, I've been thinking seriously about getting out of the ministry." He said, "I think I've done my time, and I think it's time to move on." He said, "How long you stay in the ministry anyway? What is that all about?" And I'm sitting there looking at him like, I can't believe you're telling me this. But then I began to look into his heart, and then I remembered being on the fifth floor at the hospital and hearing all those children crying. And sometimes pastors aren't even immune to it. And he was ready to get out of the ministry. And then, of course, I took on my everyday gentleness, you know, and I said, "What are you thinking about, you idiot?" I just know how to do things like that. I don't know why. But I said, "What are you thinking about? Man, when you got saved, was that forever?" And I forgot that we were sitting out in an open field next to the sheriff's motor home. So I'm preaching to him. And I didn't know all the sheriffs in there with the windows down listening. And Woody Jenkins is up on top of the motorhome taking pictures. And I said, "You can't get out of the ministry. God's not done with you yet. Man, have you even prayed about this?" "No, I haven't." And I said, "Well, I rebuke that thought that come out of your mind. And what you just said, that is not of God." And we sit down there, then I realize you're way too loud in this big field and all these people, are, you know. So God only knows who heard, not that part, but some of the other stuff. But I shared with him. But the main thing is, he was hurting and he was ready to give up. And I'm going to tell you what, there's going to be some trying times that's going to come our way. And many of you are going to come to that place and say, "Should I back out of this or should I go on?" I'm going to tell you in the most graceful way I can, that is dumb if you try to get out. You need to stay in it. God has not brought you this far to let you go. Amen? We're in this thing for the long haul, not just for a season. If you got in it just for a season, your season is not going to be over. Amen? Because God intended it to be forever. My Bible says that we get eternal life. That means that there is no end to this thing. We're going to continue to get life and get it more abundantly. 1 Corinthians 14:3, it says, "But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men." Every one of us can exhort somebody and bring comfort to someone else. And by the way, that pastor, he called me back and he said, "Brother," He said, "You're a very unique person." I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Nobody ever talked to me like that." And he said, "I want to thank you for being stern with me and making me think about what's going on." Amen? And then I got a tape, a CD from Brother Terry about Just Around the Bend. Were y'all here last week? So he's fixing to get that. All right, let me read this. Acts 2, 37 to 40, it says, "Now when he heard this, they were cut to the heart." This is Peter talking. "And said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call.' And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.'" You know, not only did he deliver the power of the Holy Spirit there, he preached the word, and all these people get filled with the Holy Spirit. But the last thing he said was there, he says, "Be saved from this perverse generation." One thing we got to look at and realize that we are in this generation, but we're not a part of it. Jesus says, did he not say that you're in the world, but you're not supposed to be a part of the world? Amen. We're separated. My Bible says that God is separated. He's sanctified us and separated us from this world. And if he's done that, then our thinking, our actions, our every being are to be set on him and not the things of the world. Because I'm going to tell you what, if you try to put your little hands on everything in this world, you're going to be totally dissatisfied. And I don't care what you've done or what you got in your life, there's nothing in this world that can satisfy like the things of God. Amen. First Thessalonians chapter 4, it says, "Finally then, brethren, we urge you and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you are to walk and to please God." There's one thing I can give you today is you are to abound and more abound in everything that God gives you. Take that and let it be a part of you. You know, I've said this before about being satisfied. I'm satisfied with an unsatisfied satisfactory. Now, you think about that. That literally means I'm satisfied right now. But there's something churning in here that says I want more of God. And I'm not going to be satisfied till I get a little bit more of God. Amen? And we need to start doing that. He wrote him another letter. It said in 1 Thessalonians 5. It says, "Now we exhort you." How many of you would love to have the Apostle Paul here to exhort you in everything? Well, he is. He's in this scripture right here. And it's God, by the way. He's just using my mouth today. He says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Amen? Everybody say, this is the will of God. You know, this is the will of God, that if we'll do these things, we're in the perfect will of God. Not in just the will, but the perfect will of God. "Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also," what? "Will do it." See, we need to know what God has said God will do. Now, I've learned, I've been on this earth long enough, that there are people that will tell you one thing and not do that. And sometimes they're even Christians. And sometimes we get that unction. How many of you have ever got that unction that God told you to do something and you did not do it? You know, you don't have to raise your hand. But I'm sure all of us have done that. Because if I promise you, if we would all be obedient to everything that God gives us, we would have a whole different outlook on everything because it would be a lot of stuff going on. Amen? No condemnation there. I'm just being honest with you. Jude was a man of very few words. He wrote one book in the Bible. It wasn't even divided into chapters or anything. But listen to this, what he said. Jude 3 says, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith." What an astounding statement. To be concerned, to contend earnestly for the faith. If I ask you today, is your faith growing? You know, the Bible says that God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. And we're supposed to take that faith and we're supposed to plant it. And when it comes up, if you want to use that analogy, it grows, does it not? Or if you look at it this way, if you put it in your life, then you exercise it and you become strong. Now, if anybody went to the gym and joined the gym, went, paid your money to go in there to get physical exercise, and you never showed up, guess what? You're going to be just like you were when you paid your money. But if you go over there and you pay your money and says, "I will be here. My word is my bond. And when I come in here, I need somebody to instruct me, somebody to help me, because I want to see my physical body get in better shape." Is that what we do when we join a health club? But if you do all of that and you don't even bother going, you get nothing. But you that go there and you know and you start lifting things and doing things, it what? Hurts. There's pain that goes with that. There's a sacrifice sometimes that happens that you have to do. But when you do that, then you begin to what? Reap the benefits. That little old five pound bag of sugar that you used to have to reach down and get it with two hands, you just reach over and get it with two fingers and throw it in the cart. Because you've exercised your faith and you've built up your muscles and you can do what you need to do. Amen? It's a simple thing. Now, let's go to Romans 8. This is where I want you to really listen to this part. And we're going to end. I know y'all got to go get some stuff done. But I want you to help me here. When I get to a certain place, I'm going to put my hand up and I want everybody to say, "No!" Okay, let's practice it.
No!
Okay. What shall separate you from the love of God? This is what was written in Romans 8:35. It says, "Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation?
No.
Shall distress?
No.
Shall persecution?
No.
Shall famine?
No.
Shall nakedness?
No.
Shall peril?
No.
Or sword?"
No.
"As it is written, for your sakes we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than a conqueror." Amen? You know what a conqueror is? A conqueror is one that would go into a city and take that city. And he would go to the leader of that city and literally take him by the hair of the head and drag him down his own street and make a shame of that person. That's what more than a conqueror is. And too many times, we as Christians, just by what we said no to right there, will let us stop sometimes dead in our tracks. And it's time to stop it. That's why I wanted you to say no. Because the next time it comes knocking on your heart's door, I don't care where you are, if you're up in the middle of Walmart, just say, "No!" And I promise you, you will be a witness at Walmart. Because somebody is going to come check on you. Amen? "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God." Amen? "Which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And then he goes on in 2 Corinthians, it says, "Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. The Lord, do not touch that what is unclean, and I will receive you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters." Amen. Woo! See, that does something to me. When I begin to read what God says, and nothing can separate me from Him, other than what I go and choose of my own. Now, there are some stipulations. Because if you choose to live an evil, sinful life and be drawn away with your own lust and you partake of that, then that can bring separation in your life. But I want you to know most of us aren't out there to do that. We're in this thing to serve God and to do what He wants us to do. Amen? But sometimes the devil will try to come and pull the wool over your eyes and think you've done something you really hadn't done. So do you just get to that place and say, you know what? There is therefore no condemnation in them that love God. Amen? That we're not condemned for doing this. That we're loved. And my Father is in full agreement with me. And you know what? He calls me His Son. Amen? The next one is cast your cares on Him. This is a simple scripture we all read. It says, cast your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Delight thyself. This is in Psalms 37. Delight thyself in the Lord. Yourself also in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Won't y'all come, Mike? Music, the music. Now, I know I kind of went through this kind of fast, but I think I got the gist of it. But the real gist of it is you. And if you're hurting, if you've been going through some hard times and you just need a word of encouragement, you need somebody just to tell you, hey, man, it's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. You're going to pull through this. And you don't have to tell people what's going on in your life. But I want you as a statement today to rise, if everybody would rise. Just stand up. And if you would, I would like for you to come down here. If you've been going through some of these things that I just talked about, right now, that you might have felt separated from God. You might have had some of those tormenting things that would come to you in the middle of the night and try to twist your mind and make you think things that you know that's not right. Or whatever it is. You might even be one of those people that's been living on that line and saying, you know what, I think I'll just kind of do it my way and not God's way. But whatever it is, I want you to come. Don't take a long time doing it. Don't go out the door. We're not done. We've still got plenty of time. But I want you to come. Come on down here. They're getting ready to sing, but you don't have to wait for the first note. I want you to come, and I want you to let people love on you. And I want you to let people pray for you and encourage you. Church, we need to be encouraging. We need to know that God's people are alive and well. And we need to let the gifts and the callings that God's given to each one of us be loosed. How will they ever hear if we don't go and we don't lay hands on them and we don't speak things to them and encourage them? Y'all come on.